Hey guys, it's Johnny, host of the show. Little different intro today because I woke up today and probably just like you guys found out that David Bowie passed away. What a sad, sad loss for all of us. One of the greatest artists of all time. When I say that, not just in music, not just in anything, but just one of the great artists. They were saying on a show this morning that he was a chameleon, and I thought you know what, that's kind of wrong, because a chameleon changes to blend into its surroundings, and David Bowie was the opposite. He challenged himself. It seems like there was a lot going on in that head of his. He was restless as an artist, which is what all artists should be, unsatisfied, trying to do more all the time. His music is easily in the top two most influential artists to me as a musician, and not just the rock stuff, but even though that's where I really connected with him when I first heard him when I was a kid, but everything through. I mean, I've gone through it all. And it's amazing to know that somebody put out so much music, so much different kind, so much different music, that I'm sure we all have our Bowies that we didn't understand and didn't really like. But even during those times, you had to applaud him and respect him, because he was challenging himself and he was doing something different. And he was challenging you as a listener. And he was out there. He was doing it. He was just making stuff all the way till 2 days before he died. His latest record came out. So, a great loss. When I was a kid, Golden Years was out. It scared me. He scared me. That go, whoop, 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 whoop. I would get up and run and turn the radio off because it scared me. Or change the station because that whoop, whoop, whoop scared me, especially at night. I think I was okay with it during the day, but it scared me at night. Then I remember seeing the video for, I think it was DJ, when he kissed a dude, and I was like, what? I was shocked. I was like, what is this dude doing? He didn't care. You know, that guy didn't care. And I also remember there was this weird experience I had watching him in the Modern Love video. Someone hands him a bouquet of flowers, and he walks over to the other side of the stage, and he gives it to somebody else. And I remember thinking to myself when I was a kid, and seeing that, maybe I was like 13 or 14, I was with my friend Megan, and I said, what a jerk, that person went and got him flowers, and she was like, yeah, but what a great guy, gave this other person the flowers. Isn't that weird? That's a weird memory to have, but I remember him in that yellow suit with the yellow hair doing that. David Bowie, what a great loss, man. All right, instead of going into the show with the regular theme song, let's go into it listening to something from his latest album, Black Star, a song called Lazarus, which I think was his goodbye to people. And rest in peace, Bowie, and thank you for everything. You will be remembered as one of the greatest artists of all time. Rest in peace, Starman.
Scars that can't be seen. I've got drama
can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now. We'll be right back.
There you go. Still fucking brilliant, man. David Bowie, rest in peace, my man. Okay, I guess on with the show. How do I do this transition? I do have a great show for you guys today. Josh and Jesse from the band Burgess Meredith are here. They've just released a new double single, double A-side, 7-inch vinyl, and it's also available online. They released it in December. It's fantastic. You can find it at burgessmeredithmusic.com or you can find it at burgessmeredith.bandcamp.com. If you live in Austin, they'll be playing on Saturday, January 30th at Cheer Up Charlie's. You can go to burgessmeredithmusic.com and find out when they'll be playing and how you can pick up double A-side, which is absolutely fantastic. Anyway, Josh was on a couple years ago when they released their album Banana Moon, and we had a great conversation then. We have a lot of the same favorite music. You know, when you get together with guys that are quote-unquote pop music nerds, you know, like garage pop, bubblegum pop, power pop, there's a whole world of that. And I've lived in that world for a long time, and these guys have as well. So sit back and enjoy my conversation with Jesse and Josh from the band Burgess Meredith. Go out there and check out their music. Find it, burgessmeredithmusic.com or burgessmeredith.bandcamp.com, okay? Rest in peace, David Bowie. I love you. And enjoy my conversation, guys. Have a great week. Have you met Sidney so far? Just this show.
Just for the show.
You were on once before, years ago at this point.
Correct.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a blast.
I remember that was the, are you rolling right now?
Yeah, it's going.
I remember the, talking about Saturday Night Fever, and you referencing your favorite line, the pussy finger.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Broke my pussy finger.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. So, Jesse, you were in the band then?
Yes, I was.
With Banana Moon.
That's right.
That album. Mm-hmm. Okay. Banana How long have you guys been playing together?
5 years.
In this project, yeah, 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I played another band of his, and then we got started just gigging in our own projects back in Dallas when we were there.
Maybe 12 years ago, me and him kind of whirlwinded around each other for a long time, just double booking and things like that, and he moved here, and then I moved here a few years later, and it just kind of happened.
So you're from Dallas too?
Yeah.
You guys have people there? Is everyone okay from the?
Oh yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, my nieces and everybody were ducking cover.
Yeah.
But they were fine. Yeah,
that tornado it bobbed and weaved right through us. It just missed us. We were in Garland.
And oh, you were there.
Yeah,
we were still there.
Yeah, I was. It came right in between. I didn't realize I was driving back from Fort Worth, and it touched down like just behind us on the highway, and we didn't realize it. And then we stopped at Half Price. We were just kind of moseying along, and then my grandmother's calling us, like flipping out. And then it bobbed and weaved through the rest of my family heading out that way because I got family in Sachse and in Heath.
Yeah,
they have a great photo of it touching down over the over Lake Ray Hubbard.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard it was a
F4 maybe, or it's pretty large.
I saw this thing where it was nighttime and it was coming, and then lightning, and you could fucking see it, and it was like totally, yeah. It was almost like CGI.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, terrible, but yeah, cool. Hey, yeah, so
cool to look at.
So Half Price Books, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You seem like you must spend a lot of time there in the record bins.
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing. I found a Gilbert O'Sullivan while I was there.
Oh, nice. Love that. This, that Alone Again, Naturally, we talked about covering that tune.
Yeah.
How can you... So, it's weird because, like, did you guys have... Like, how long have you been into music? That's like, you know, Gilbert O'Sullivan, like, if I sang that shit when I was in high school, which I was in my mind... I would have gotten the shit kicked out of me. I mean, it was like when in the 80s was when I was in high school. But I mean, like, did you guys, were you guys into this, into music from another era? in a time when you shouldn't have been.
Yeah,
I mean,
mutually, yes,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
but into the era as well, of the current time. Like for me, you know, I mean, it was the 90s, so, you know, like Weezer and Nirvana were like,
yeah, okay, right? Sure. I mean, that music works.
But then, on top of that, the anthologies were released when I was a kid, and that was like a massive resurgence mm-hmm. for us. So we were,
I guess so.
We were all over the Beatles. But I didn't discover the sort of ancillary, the groups surrounding them, all the other groups that they influence and influence them.
It's the Badfingers, the Big Stars, the Zombies, the
Kinks. I didn't get deep into their catalogs until much later. But the Beatles, the Beatles definitely that far back. And also, coincidentally, some of that 70s stuff, too.
Like the 70s pop stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Chevy Van and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I'm in a band called Skyrocket that started off like specifically just doing shit like that, like Jackie Blue and stuff like that. But we're like a cover band. We have to
we don't do
anything really now. We just do like 70s and 80s.
Nice.
But we had to sort of focus on one sort of thing, and playing like the weird songs that nobody's heard in a long time is not really a lucrative cover band to be in.
Yeah.
It's fun as shit,
mm-hmm.
but it is...
It's fun for the musician, not so much the crowd.
Yeah. What song is this?
They want that predictable dance party thing.
Yeah. So were you listening to that same kind of stuff at the same time?
Oh, like, man.
Are you guys relatively the same age?
My first... Mm-hmm. I remember getting a cassette tape when I was little. It was Abbey Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to my parents. They started me young on things like the Beatles and Talking Heads and Queen. And I didn't really venture too much further than that. It wasn't until I started working with these guys that I started really learning about more artists around that genre and really kind of digging into newer stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know when people find time to shop for records.
It's also crazy that there's from that era there. I will get introduced to something now, like only within the last 2 years, I think, our drummer Keith introduced me to Emmett Rhodes, and
I just discovered him too.
And I was like, I mean that self-titled album with like, I mean there's just so, I mean the entire stop top to bottom,
dude,
is just incredible.
I'm 47, yes, and I'm in your same world, and yeah. I just found out about him like 6 months ago on Spotify myself.
Yeah,
just seeing artists that. I saw some weird artist I'd never heard of when I was listening to somebody
mm-hmm.
that was real cool.
His career only lasted like 4 years. He just did a few albums. And then
we had that band, he had the Merry-Go-Round, right? Or I don't know if it's plural or not, but he had them and then his solo thing. But yeah, everything I've heard is just so incredible. And
then he's brilliant, man.
Yeah. I mean, all the key LA and California folks are playing on that new release that he's working on.
He did a lot of it himself, I thought.
Do you guys dive into the 70s? Like, are you into like Dwight Twilley and shit like that? I just had him on the show.
I'm not as familiar with 70s stuff. I mean, as it gets beyond the early 70s,
right?
But the things that are connected to the Beatles, I'm a pretty big Beatle nut. So the things that are connected to the Beatles or to their solo careers in some capacity, or maybe Apple, like Badfinger and things like that,
right.
Are things that I definitely.
Follow. What about later on, like the Smithereens, like 80s kind of guitar?
I'm not familiar with the Smithereens. Oh, really?
I hear about those guys. I went through a 70s phase, I think, in my later teens, but it was a phase.
Yeah.
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 There's something about the musicality of, you know, those older bands that inspired us. There's a real foundation there for the rest of us to build off of. I don't think enough people do. But,
I've actually been pushing kind of earlier, going into the late 50s. I've been listening to a lot of late 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Just like tinkering around and go. And it's also where, you know, a lot of the dollar bin stuff that I find are good finds are often late 50s stuff. You know, people's grandparents have, mm-hmm. have passed on or whatever it may be, and then they've dumped. And so we're stumbling across all this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I get turned on to a lot of that stuff through. Have you ever listened to a show on KTX called Twine Time?
Yeah.
On Saturday nights? Yeah.
Yeah.
That usually keeps me in the zone.
Yeah,
that stuff.
I always forget to listen to Twine Time too. And then I'll be driving around, and Saturday nights, right?
Yeah.
And I'll just like throw on the radio and be like, "This is incredible." Oh yeah, it's Twine Time.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
Like 7 or 8 till 11.
I didn't know about it. I'll have to listen.
Paul
to
Ray, he's a great guy. He's like Paul Ray and the Cobras, like this legendary blues dude. The guy that got like Stevie Ray playing guitar with his band.
Wow.
That's kind of like where he came out of.
Very cool.
But he's a very cool dude. He's very deep. It's usually more soul and blues.
Okay.
Not a lot of, you know, But yeah, there's great stuff in there. So so you guys did this record at the church house.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. How did you enjoy that?
Oh,
it's a great place, right?
I mean, yeah, the space was incredible. It was chilly too. It was wintertime when we were there, and it was nice. We all, like, you know, we all bundled up and got in the same room. It was one of the only places. I remember the reason why Stuart Sykes recorded it. And he's done, I mean, just a ton of great stuff. And
is he a guy from there?
He worked out of there? He was working, I think his studio was out of Denton, with, John Congleton. Stuart Sykes was the engineer on, like, that, one of those, that first really good, or not first, but, I know one of the breakthrough records for the White Stripes, like the one with, like, Fell in Love with a Girl and all that stuff. And then he did some other work. I know he did, who else was, the Great Cat? Power. He did the Cat Power stuff. So, and then he's really good at capturing a live performance.
Right.
And that was the space he recommended because it was one of the few spots we could get piano, bass, drums, and two guitars all at the same time.
Right.
So we were able, I mean, for us, getting all five of those basics is not an easy thing.
Yeah,
set,
challenging.
Set up drums like in the entryway there? Yeah.
He brought his kit. He had an old little jazz kit.
That's right.
And then we had we played that Baby Grand and then used one of the amps there. And actually Mario from he's playing with the Joe Jacksons now, is in the Preservation. He loaned us his old Epiphone and we used that guitar too.
And I feel like we used an old maybe drawbar organ, and we used a Rhodes or the SV-1, I can't remember.
They had a Whirly there. Yeah. That we sort of scrambled to get one of the, you know, the pedal has that rod, that dowel rod that comes up, scrambled to get that thing functional, and then we
My Rhodes doesn't have one of those sustained pedal rods because they're fucking, to get one is like $500.
Really?
There's more than the Rhodes.
Oh, my Lord.
It was more than the thing itself.
Yeah.
So like sorry, go ahead.
It's like a transmission.
But no, Whirly sound is so great. And we used to always actually do that on piano. We went and planned for that one for FM to be on piano. And then,
that's right.
But then the Whirly, it for some reason, the room, they're capturing all those things at the same time in the room worked for Sydney, but not for Farm to Market. So that's why we went ahead and did the Whirly. Okay. But it was a really awesome experience being
and
there.
And wasn't it both of us keeping time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took turns actually playing the rhythm track.
Oh, really?
There's takes of Jesse playing the Wurlitzer and holding down the bass, and then there's takes of me doing it, and then we kind of blended in the cuts. Yeah, there's different parts of different ones that we kept.
That song was challenging in the studio. It was a learning experience.
We did all these off the grid. So Banana Moon was all on the grid. You know, we kind of built it layer by layer, going to the different places around town.
The other one you just kind of freestyled, no click track or anything?
This one we did, off the grid, and just it was live performances.
That's good.
Yeah, and so...
Feels good.
Yeah, nice. You know, it's. I think our drummer often hears it, you know, and I know that, like, that's that thing you do when you hear it, and you're like,
are you talking about Keith?
Yeah, he'll hear it, and he'll wonder if he moved a bit in the tempo.
But it's okay, it's okay.
I think it's so wonderful. Yeah,
even
the human element.
Any minor flaws like that, even with singing, I think, can be appropriate and give it a more human element. For sure.
And that's probably the thing that attracts us, especially in this day and age, trying to listen, and not to sound old, but I mean, shit, everything is like a fucking metronome.
Yeah.
Your ass, you know,
now. Yeah, and pitch corrected and everything else.
Yeah, and to go back there and, like, you know, this guy was, like, reaching for the note. He didn't quite get it. Fucking character.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you hear those flaws in the older music.
Sure.
You know, a couple of whatever. You hear flat notes and the tambourine's too loud and little things like that. And I think it's because of how they approached it back then. Everybody's all together and...
Yeah.
You just kind of got to get what you can get.
And I don't know if it's dudes like us that are nerds or actually people like, you know, the end of I could wait forever. I've got time.
Yeah.
At the very end, like someone's going off on the thing. And like the shit like that, there's like real shit happening.
Yeah.
That's like beautiful and like never can happen again.
Yeah, that's right.
Because luckily someone was recording it.
Yes.
Weird. And you know, the only recording I've recorded at the church house a couple of times, and it's only been live. Everything live.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a great room for that.
Yes, it is. I mean, that was the thing that we, especially because we were only, you know, we knew that it's one thing when you're trying to, I guess, capture an entire album, but we knew this was just going to be a little 7-inch. And so, you know, these two songs, we wanted to be that experience, you know, just tracking them live. And when we do the next one, we'll probably have to build it out, like kind of like how we did the other one, because we have to kind of game plan, pick our studios and our sounds.
Yes, and a lot of this music is maybe a bit more involved.
The newer stuff?
Yeah, we've got an album, a full-length demoed out, and so that's the 2016 game plan. And the first thing we're going to be doing is scheduling drum tracks, and then we'll probably take those sessions and then drop in the things that we want to keep. There's actually a lot of guitar stuff that we want to keep from the demo sessions.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we're going to kind of work off of what we have, a lot of what we have existing, because there's just some performances there. I'm one of these guys that gets pretty bad demoitis.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I adore demo. Like I love like the anthologies. I love, you know, anytime someone goes back and releases.
Yeah.
I was over the Christmas break, we were listening to Yankee Hotel Foxtrot demo sessions.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love going back and hearing the alternate versions and seeing the process. And then for us though, I think that a lot of times, you know, if it's in tune, or you know, even if it's a little out of tune, if the performance is the one that you want, and as long as you captured it at a high sample rate, I've got no problems. We're going to go pick our amp. We're going to reamp it. We're going to send it where we need to. And then
we did that, I think, in a few scenarios with Banana Moon. I know there was the song Me As In You. When it was just an idea, I sent it to Josh, and it was just me and a piano and just kind of the skeleton, the bones of this song. Mm-hmm. And but there was a little, you know, vocal in it. I was like, okay, the rhythm's going to be like this. And I kind of illustrated a feel. And it sounded cool, just lo-fi, little voice memo thing. And so we totally recreated that in the studio by just creating a chain with speakers and whatnot. He used his magic, and we recreated that thing. And very cool.
And a lot of the tracks, like, and on that album, were kept from the original too. That was John's solo on like Love of Man, things like that, were the original demos. And we just took the straight off the fuzz pedal right into the board, and that was the sound on a lot of those.
How do you guys work, like, as a, like, do you write most of the stuff?
It's pretty
together?
Equal.
Probably 50-50, yeah.
We have ebb and flows. There's times where Jesse's writing more than I am, and he's sending me voice memos.
Right.
And then I'm writing more, and I'm sending him memos.
It works out how we kind of take turns. It'd be tough if we were blowing each other up with new material at the same time.
Yeah.
But then recently we've started doing a thing where I'll have a fragment. I know I've got a verse, and then I've got a verse in an alternating B section, and then I'll send it to Jesse, and he'll write a chorus to it. We've done that with a few of them, and then he's sending them back to me, and then we're kind of building upon.
Yeah, it's evolving into a more of a coalescing sort of thing where we unite our powers, you know, and kind of work through it together. It's really awesome.
It's cool when you can recognize that, and there's not. You resentment because one guy's working all the time, the other guy's sitting around, you know.
No, Josh and I have been really good about understanding each other's life positions and remaining cohesive with each other on an artistic level and on friendship level.
It's great.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and Jesse, Keith, and John as well all have skills that, you know, they have ears for stuff that I don't have, you know, and I've got ears for other things. Like, For me, I deal a lot with, like, when we're recording, the spectrum aspect, you know, tonal qualities, types of sounds we're recording.
Well, in production, things, sometimes production. I'll send him an idea that, like I said, is just a skeleton, and it's like a good idea when I bring it to the table.
Right.
And he's great with just taking that idea flushing and fulfilling it its potential and really turning it into, you know.
Mm-hmm. But they'll have melody, you know, like they'll be able to put, like, anytime I can write a good harmonic movement, you know, Jesse or Keith or John can put like a good melody to it.
That's
or
good.
Can find like the harmony that exists, you know, within that harmonic structure over what it is that I have going on. So we kind of, there's a good, I think, workflow going on.
Are you music school guys?
I had a little bit, not a lot though, a couple of years.
I just grew up with music all around me. That was kind of my music school. Sang a lot on my mom's side, a lot of a cappella harmonies. Since I was real young, and then on my father's side, more instrumental type stuff, and so I'm really fortunate for that.
Yeah, and they had cool, they got you Beatles stuff.
Yeah, and they had good taste in music, and even when I got older in, the early 90s, listening to shit like Paula Abdul, they'd get on to me, and be like, that's not music.
In hindsight, what do you think of that stuff? Paul Abdul's terrible. That's like bottom of the barrel, right?
I appreciate more just because I'm a performer. I know what it's like.
It's hard to dance.
I know what it's like to have to move around and keep your pitch in line.
Keep your breath, yeah.
and keep your breath.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to to battle that monster. And so I really appreciate people that can do that on a musical level. As far as taste goes, I wouldn't buy the album.
Yeah. I remember trying to show my dad like the vocal breakdowns of like, you know, Weezer songs from like the Blue Album, like Holiday, where like, you know, sure, the stacked vocals.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is like the Beach Boys. Check this out, Dad. Yeah. And he was like, no, it's not.
It's just noise.
Well, I mean, it's not that they're not bad. They're cool arrangements. They're cool performances, but they're not singing like major sixes and doing like the crazy stuff that the
insane Beach range.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like not necessarily the same level of vocal ensemble by any means. But I was, you know, as a kid, I'm like, listen to this. This is just like the Beach Boys.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to get to where eventually we can drift more into the intricacies of...
It seems like you guys do have a good harmony thing going on. I mean, I saw some live stuff of you guys and really fucking good.
Awesome, thanks.
Yeah, it's a relief to hear you say that.
We're our worst critics.
How do you record shows? I know that the guy in that cover band, I mean, I know he was recording shows. Every once in a while he'll come in and be like, hey, let's talk about this Hall & Oates.
Yeah,
backing vocal.
We started doing more record. Our work ethic for vocals has been shifting more recently to try to get more locked in. So we're recording rehearsals and shows now, and then we're also doing an outside vocal rehearsal to try to focus on just the harmony arrangements.
That's always the best, is to take it outside, get it together, and that way you're not wasting the drummer guy's time with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you end up taking 20 minutes.
And no one gets
minutes.
Embarrassed, too, because, I mean...
Yeah, it's weird. When you're searching for that weird high note, you're, you're singing your falsetto, you're like, everybody give me a second while I just...
The Eagles have
let me just crack my voice for a minute.
They warm up like that, like in a circle. They call it the circle of shame. Mm. Like, you can totally tell who's out. Because, I mean, that's a pretty fucking naked thing to do. It's good to do it with other people that are doing it, too. Because then you do get, like, a peanut gallery, like the drummer. No offense against your drummer.
I don't know you, dude,
but I love you. And I know that sometimes you guys say stuff that you're like, shut up! You know,
right?
Well, everyone wants the noodle too. You get, I mean, if you're sitting there holding an instrument,
oh god,
I'm bad about that.
That drives me nuts.
I'll turn it down. Yeah, my hands just have to move really. I'll just turn it down and just keep going.
Jesse, is that your pump organ in those videos where you're doing?
No. Actually, all the gear I use in this group belongs to Josh. Technically,
and great.
I just try to maintain responsibility for it.
that thing, you know, it's funny.
Is it yours?
I had that for a while. It still had bellow. The bellows were still messed up on it. So I don't know if you notice, he's pumping hard to get it to do what it was doing.
I was like jogging, man.
I had to compress the crap out of it to get like a sound that was even noticeable.
How did you guys do this? You ran that through multi-track?
Yeah, we multi-tracked those.
Yeah, because I noticed the girl was sitting back pretty far.
Yeah, she is
pretty far. And is there a new, is that not the same girl that's...
No, yeah, Kara left. She's now singing with Sweet Spirit.
Yeah, yes. I love those guys.
And then, awesome. And then Sarah Castro is singing with us these days. Okay. And actually, it's Sarah's involvement in the band, which I think has brought some good work ethic. Because, you know, she wanted to really lock in the parts, so it's required extra rehearsal. And then her workflow is to record things and then listen to a monitor. And then us doing that has actually helped us, too, because we didn't always have that same workflow.
Bringing her on board, and regardless of who it is, just having to train somebody up and... kind of reverse those parts for somebody. Mm-hmm. It made me realize that I need work too, and that maybe I need to look at some of my parts as well. So helping her totally helped me.
So it's the three of you guys doing it?
Doing the vocals, the three of us are all singing. We're trying to get, Keith will probably come in to play too. Keith used to be our drummer, and now he's our bassist / guitarist. Him and John are sharing, they're switching back and forth. Because most
who's
of the
new drummer?
The new drummer is Josh Weinhold from, he was with The Preservation and some other groups. Yeah,
he's
and it's been
fantastic.
Great. It's been great having him in. It took a while. We had searched for a while to find somebody. I think we knew, you know, John left the country for about 6 months or so, and then we knew that Keith was going to be stepping up to play guitar. And for me, I thought it'd be easier to find a drummer than it would be to find a guitarist, because I'm just really particular about someone's style on guitar.
Yeah,
I mean, just even the gear that they bring to the table, you know, and the pedals that they
have.
It's
hard to find a guitar player, especially when there's lead stuff to be done, that will marry themselves to a part and lock into that part and kind of only do that. And we're sticklers, him and I think, about that. Map out your part, marry yourself to it, play that part. And it's really hard to find these players we have that are valuable, that mm-hmm. that are happy to do that.
And it's it's difficult to find a guitar player who wants to be part of a song rather than display his muscular.
That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Is a lot of people want to kind of music masturbation, and it's like, hey, leave that at home, man.
That's an instrument that like people feel the mm-hmm. need to really
and
go.
And there's
I don't know why.
Yeah, there are genres that absolutely facilitate that. But I think with us being, you know, six piece. It's like we try to create a moment for everybody in the song. Like, even when John was playing bass at the, you know, now he's playing, he used to be our guitarist full time, and now he's playing some bass, but he actually has a bass solo on Farm to Market. And so it's cool to see, you know.
Is that a weird thing? Can you tell that? Because I know that as a drummer sometimes, even just today, like we were rehearsing with a guy that's filling in on bass on our show tomorrow. It's a different feel. Mm-hmm. Like, does the guy playing bass play because he suits the feel of the song better? Is that how you decide who's going to do what? Was that
typically the decisions?
I just blew Jesse's mind. Jesse's like, what?
Well, I'm trying to think of the right answer.
Well, the decisions have been made specifically, or in terms of recently, they've been made on the guitar comfort or what?
Okay,
whoever's most comfortable with playing a certain instrument on a certain song.
Yeah,
I think they hashed that out together.
It's like, yeah, the guitar became our priority, but then it's funny because we've discovered that. The bass it's actually been a happy accident, to be honest, because mm-hmm. Keith wrote the solo to Farm to Market, so we wanted him to play the guitar on that song, even though John held down the riff and had always done that. But then when John took the bass and slapped fuzz on it and tweaked the tone, he played bass with other bands before, and he really fell into the role. And then all of a sudden the part at the end of the song has never been done exactly as it was written,
but he's doing it.
But yeah, because we always have Blue was our old bassist, and he and Ben too. And Blue loved to noodle. I mean, he loved to kind of groove and find.
He gets in the zone. He's having fun, and he starts
going
for a walk.
Yeah,
right.
Which
and
was
it,
awesome.
Yeah,
maybe
it
he
worked.
Didn't need to.
Mm-hmm. It worked. Yeah,
okay,
just because of the.
But I love parts though. I'm that way. I love like writing a part and like when you've crafted something within it, you know, and hearing it executed. We've never really been able to hear the end of that song played the way it has been recently until this new lineup. And it's funny because the song was written a long time ago, and now we're
doing it.
Yeah, when we heard like when we listened back to our KUTX performance, I mean it was so awesome to hear that bass solo at the end.
It made it. It made it. It even took a.
Did you guys just see that last month or in December?
We tracked it, and at the end of November, was that right?
Okay, yes.
Or no, it was December. It was December because it was the day before the show. It was December 3rd, and then our release show was
the
4th of December. Yeah, but it's been enjoyable. There, basically, when we write bass parts, we're always guitar players writing them, and even with Blue and him being in the band, and when Ben Burnick also played with us for a while, they would always be playing our sort of guitarish type parts that we wrote anyways. So
there's something cool about that and different. We implicate a lot of movement with our bass parts,
right?
Maybe more than most people would. I think that's kind of an integral thing that we do, as well as the vocals.
Do you play? Do you play like that? Like, do you?
Sometimes
are you
Jesse's,
a very left hand bass?
Sometimes
line
certain,
person. As
yeah,
a
certain songs I'm a real busybody. I played for the ballet for a while, and that somehow led me into a ragtime sort of world.
Oh, wow, that's
and
cool.
I was able to bring that element into our group. It just kind of worked because of the Kinks type stuff and a lot of the Paul's Granny music and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. It just kind of was cohesive for what we were doing, and I was able to venture into the realm of what we're going for just by implicating that.
Yeah. Do you guys ever see that video that's in that one of the special editions of Band on the Run with Paul playing Babyface?
No.
It's really good. It's really cool.
Man. Check that out.
He does all that shit so well. Like, he fakes it really well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing, but he really knows how to pull it off.
Yeah, I feel that way sometimes. I'm blindfolded!
What was that like playing for the Austin Ballet?
I just played for the... I'm not good enough to do the like real performances. I played for...
rehearsal?
The kids and their practices, and it was just really intense. They wouldn't give you an idea of the feel. If you didn't know what the dance movements were going to be, you didn't know how to... And it was just 3 and a 4 and a and you just gotta start going.
Oh, and I thought you were gonna say 5, 6, 7, 8.
It changes each time.
Yeah.
And you just kind of gotta improvise, and you can't screw it up, because if you do, you gotta stop, and then the whole class has to stop. So it was really intense, and I came out of it a much better player from that.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah, sometimes you grow so much faster under the gun.
Absolutely.
Really? I do well with pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It freaks me mm-hmm. out, but I always deliver. When there's pressure there, I always deliver.
Do you like 70s Elton John?
I love Elton John. I think he is a real talent.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
His voice is just otherworldly.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Why do you ask?
I don't know.
There's been some talk of a few Elton songs. In terms
you guys
of
play the
world.
Kind of music of a band that would play a Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
We did.
I wouldn't
if
be
either one
to
of us could reach
show.
That range, we bet you could.
No, I mean, yeah. In the falsetto, we'll just take turns to take the.
He's doing it in falsetto.
Yeah.
And, no, he's not
on Yellow Brick Road. On the
maybe
big...
you should go watch some of his like go look at some of his like mid '80s like coked out when he couldn't sing and everything was like two steps lower.
Goodbye,
yeah. He became that guy.
He sounded
that
like
that was one that I always screwed up the lyrics to so bad. Like as a kid, I was singing that just at the top of my lungs. Like, you know, I can remember my like teens like driving around and just completely wrong words, just belting them.
Do you
know
what
they
were?
That with Beatles
I mean,
songs
now,
still.
Yeah, at that time, I know that I definitely screwed up that because when I discovered it was another vodka and tonic. I was like, oh, that's a great line. I was like, I was not singing that.
Take another vodka and tonic to get you on your feet again. What did you think it was?
I don't even, I think it was, I don't honestly remember. I know that I've got friends who have, you know, there's like Stone Temple Pilots. Somebody thought it was a ham and mustard shake.
Nice. I just noticed recently that I had a lyric wrong to Penny Lane. It was... I sit and meanwhile back. I sit and meanwhile back.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying like I said a or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. My
I
whole
think
life.
I did too. Yeah.
And then
when
I heard a live version of it, and he really enunciated that part, and I was like, "Whoa! How did I miss that for 30 years?" You know.
Yeah, she's a woman. When I was a little kid, I thought he said, "My love, don't give me presents. I know that she's no pheasant."
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what a peasant was yet.
Right.
I thought that was weird. I was like, that's just a weird, like... And then also there was weird lines they said, like, I remember being a kid and hearing, like, I'm going to love her till the cows come home. And I was just like, the fuck is that?
That's a long time. That's what that is.
Who are these cows and why do they even have cows?
It's
why
funny.
Do they have cows?
Are they farmers?
I've heard Beatle fans talk about that lyric. You know, there's
really?
There's a podcast that... that we listened to something about the Beatles.
Really?
And
that's what it's called.
Yeah. And then that
you just
line.
Probably lost half my audience. You just killed like half of my audience. No longer listen. They will only listen to something.
But they argue about that line amongst the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. But I'm not one of these. It's funny because even when I listen to that, like, there's a lot. They'll have bits where there's criticisms, and I'm not one of these guys that, like, you know, wants to go picking out the things I dislike. I just want to keep celebrating all the things that I love, which is pretty much everything about the band. You know?
Yeah. Oh, do you guys venture into, are you guys into, like, Led Zeppelin or anything like that?
Yeah, I like some Zeppelin.
I love Zeppelin.
I haven't listened to Zeppelin in a long time. I know Keith loves Zeppelin, too.
I don't know them, just because he's a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know them, like, I couldn't tell you all the names of their albums and things like that.
Yeah.
But,
I think they're just like 1, 2, 3.
You're right. You're right. But I think that I think he's amazing. I do. I
Jimmy
think
Page?
That,
Page or Plant? Or Bonham. Or, I mean, they're all... They're
Bonham
all,
is freaking amazing.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
is
yeah.
John Paul Jones, though. I mean, the bass... I mean, every facet of that band is
a lot of movement.
Player.
It's a really musical group.
I will say that
so
from like a shredding place, you know, like, and I don't normally get on board with like just people wailing.
Oh, he's wicked.
I think he would be my favorite in terms of people who are just like, just going bananas. I love the slop to his his runs.
Rock and roll music, man. I still really enjoy
it. I had that song Remains the Same VHS as a kid, and I watched it. It was the cheesiest thing, and it was like cut with like
weird theatrical. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
hey, listen, I want you to film me coming in. I'm going to be a knight.
Yeah.
Can you guys be cool? Are you guys going to be cool with that? I'll be riding over here.
Yeah, yeah.
On my steed.
With a cucumber in my pants.
Yeah. all the Lord of the Rings references and the lyrics.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. That's the problem I have with the, especially the early, later on, like All of My Love and shit like that. That's mm-hmm. to me, that's like unbelievable music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The early stuff has great energy. The
that,
band sounds
that
great.
That bridge, that creepy bridge,
mm-hmm. on All of My Love.
And All My Love,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
solo thing.
No, it's the song. Maybe it's a different song.
Yeah.
He's like
Is that a whole lot of love?
That's a whole lot of love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just creepy and fun.
Yeah. I'm a Sabbath. I wasn't exposed to them until later. But once I discovered them, I was like, I don't understand why people don't make more of a big deal, because this is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys were weird.
What,
they were
Sabbath?
Like jammy. Yeah. There's like just they were like part jam band.
It's like King Crimson. They're kind of like that too. Just out there.
Are
jammy
you into King
metal.
Crimson?
I only know of one record.
Did that one that used to scare me as a kid?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that face. In the Court of the Crimson King. That's what it is.
Yes, the Court of the Crimson King. It's a great record.
There's a guy here in town from that band.
Experimental.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Pat Mostolato.
You heard of James McMurtry?
Yeah.
I worked right next door to him today.
What do you mean? Next to his house?
I was working at doing a residential job today.
Oh, yeah?
And apparently he lives right next door. Had all his back windows boarded up because that's his studio. I guess he's got wood blocking the windows and then...
Hmm. You ever seen him play?
No.
He's fucking amazing.
I don't even know what he does.
Well, you know who his dad is? His dad's Larry McMurtry. Lonesome Dove, the Western
writer.
Oh,
Lonesome Dove.
Yeah.
That
Last Picture Show wrote all those books.
Mm-hmm.
But he's great, man.
Cool.
I can't recommend him enough.
Should go knock on his door.
Knock on his door. Say, sing me a song, motherfucker.
Sing me a song, bro. I don't know who you are.
He's
so
super intense. Don't say any of that stuff. Don't even knock on his door. Just go to his gig.
Right. Well, I can be intense too. I'm not scared.
Yeah, but he is a nice guy. But he's not going to listen to this show. He's got this underbite. What makes him seem mean?
Oh, yeah? Mm. Does he dip snuff, too?
I don't think so.
Oh, that helps.
No. He had a billboard for, like, some beer company, and they made it, like, the most interesting man in the world, but the title was the most disinterested man in the world. Pretty funny. That's what he's like.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he could give a shit. All right, so what else? What are you guys listening to now? Anything great?
I've been, you know... In terms of the things that I got, I got some vinyl over the holidays, but most of it was I've been going through getting those mono reissues, like with the artwork for the Beatles, like with the artwork as it is, and the mixes from the original mixes and all that stuff. But I also picked up ELO.
What, the new one?
No, I picked up. I found in a dollar bin. Is it called A New World Record? Is that the name of the album?
I think so. Yeah.
I've never heard. I've heard the cuts from that are on the greatest hits, but I've never heard that album in its entirety.
What's on that record?
It's got like Rockaria.
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 I like to call it Rockaria.
Yeah, and telephone line. But man, it is.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it just me? I'm always going to think of, like, Billy Madison now when I hear that song and, like, Steve Buscemi putting lipstick on at the end of that movie.
Did I tell you last time you were here that my band, that cover band I'm in, Skyrocket, we did, like, we got the Tosca String Quartet and we did, a night of ELO.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love ELO. I love Jeff Lynne. I like everything. You know, I love the Traveling Wilburys stuff. I love his production that he's done.
I know a lot about him. People used to compare Jumpstart Razor to ELO.
You know what I started listening to is The Move. His band before ELO.
Okay.
Check that shit out, man. It's cool as shit. It is really cool. It is a jam.
Yeah.
Nice.
We got a request. There was one request to cover one of his previous bands, and I can't.
The Move. That's it.
And I wonder if that was, there was a particular song, something about it. It was a toy or something. I can't think of it, though.
Maybe
for a wedding or something.
Yeah. But it was.
You guys play weddings?
We've played. Well, no, that was actually for a Kickstarter party for.
Oh, that's right.
A donor. But we've played. I think, what, two now? Or three, four?
Yeah, I think, I think we're trying to steer away from that.
Yeah, we don't typically, but when people have asked us...
Do you have to pad it with a bunch of covers? Or?
We do, just because we enjoy... So we pick songs that, you know, we like doing and
yeah, because if they like our style of music, they're probably going to like the stuff that we like.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And we're able to play our original material. We sprinkle it throughout the set.
Yeah, because it sounds like, you know, old stuff anyways. Yeah. It's actually been a blast. We played... It all started because someone saw us at South by Southwest and then asked us if we would come to Boston and play their wedding. And so... And so we put this set together, and that was a gig that basically, you know, paid for the rest of the tour, and it was a blast, honestly. We played the Four Seasons downtown, and then
that's awesome.
I mean, it was, and there was a gay pride parade going on that day.
And right after, outside, I mean, they hired you guys because they wanted. It wasn't like, you know, these guys do a great brown eyed girl. It was like you guys really got a cool.
It was
The one where we had to do Overjoyed, huh? Me and Kara.
Oh, that's actually that was after.
You mean like Overjoyed?
Oh my really? God!
No shit, that's.
You know, cheesy or whatever, but that is one of the most challenging. That's one of the hardest songs I've ever had to learn. That fucking song,
and he nailed it too. I mean, I was watching him learn it like throughout the course. Every practice, he'd come and have a little bit more of it down.
I know exactly.
Changing keys all over the place. That song was intense, and it made me really. Because when I first heard it, I was like, "Oh God, just gooey bowl of queso." And but then learning it, I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome.
Once he stopped using like real keyboards,
it's
just like,
what about the drums on "I Just Called to Say I Love You"? That's fantastic.
I feel like if he would have recorded "I Just Called to Say I Love You" in like the Inner Visions or Talking Book era, it would have been like badass.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
Inner Visions is badass.
There's nothing not badass about that album, especially because he's drumming on most of it, which is that's why it's so badass.
That's wild.
He plays like someone that doesn't. I mean, like, go back and listen to it, and you're like, oh, a real drummer would never do any of this shit.
I figured like somebody like somebody with that missing sense is probably going to approach things way differently.
Sure.
It's like
he played drums on like a couple of other people's Motown hits, like when really? He was just when he was little Stevie,
right.
Like just hanging out there.
Because he was
like,
I remember seeing that documentary,
Stevie Wonder.
Right, standing in the shadows in Motown.
Yeah, and they were talking about him kind of hanging out in the background, and then just sort of being someone around, and then kind of, you know, coming into his own.
Yeah,
in and around all these other phenomenal
just
musicians,
being a little badass.
Little badass dude.
He inspires shit out of me, man.
Me too, man. I just like, I want to
like
do that
does,
stuff,
but
when I try and sing it, it just, I sound so
stupid. Yeah, but
stupid.
It doesn't matter. I think of that as swinging with three bats. You'll never be able to do what Stevie Wonder's doing.
Yeah.
But keep trying to do it anyways. It'll make you better.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never reach that, but you'll get closer and closer, you know?
You're a realist.
Just keep trying.
It's funny, like certain styles, certain genres people take to it. Like I know that if there's a yelly song, typically, like for us, it goes to me. If there's a song that has more soul and R&B quality to it, it'll typically go to Jesse. Like,
right.
Is it you the one that sings the Isley Brothers tune?
Yes.
What's Isley Brothers?
That's we do the Human Beings version, but yeah, it's Isley Brothers, and it's Nobody But Me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not R&B, is it?
It's definitely got some R&B quality.
I like to change my approach. Sometimes there's a lot of moving, and sometimes it's real.
But for those gigs where we've had to learn songs, we've done, you know, we've learned like some Ray Charles and some other stuff. And
I love that stuff, and I try to execute the parts that I can well, but it's tough.
It's interesting because there's a certain feel in rock and roll that you can dance to, and then in somewhere along the line there was a divide where you don't dance to rock and roll anymore. Now you've got to dance to dance music and rock to rock music. I want to dance to rock and roll.
Did you remember that Cameron Crowe movie Singles?
Yeah.
And I think that they're out and they're saying something about like, promise me if you ever end up with somebody, we'll still go out dancing together. And it's like, I think at that time it's like Alice in Chains is in the background, like just like, you know, throwing down.
How people dance to that?
And they're all dancing, and I remember thinking to myself at the time, like even then when I was watching it, like, people dance to this? But I never saw that movie actually in its time. I think I came late to the fold, even on that 90s stuff.
Like I saw that movie in the theater and I was ashamed. I really was. I remember walking out being like, oh man.
That's a great soundtrack.
That's my people. That's exactly my people.
Yeah.
Like I'm like 1 year younger than Kurt Cobain.
Really? Wow. I remember Jeff, my younger brother, was like, he was listening to that stuff as it was happening, and I feel like basically 5 years after all of the that alternative movement happened, I started listening to it. I was still like hung up on the Beatles.
Sure. Well, it's funny because when you say that, there was like this sort of like power pop movement that came in right under grunge with like Veruca mm-hmm. Salt and like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Weezer.
Yeah, Weezer.
Not, and not then, full on grunge and like dirgy.
And then right, Jellyfish. Yeah. And,
well, yeah, Jellyfish.
And then,
yeah.
And, then
Jellyfish.
And that's that stuff going on too.
That's my jam. We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
Double A-Side is the name of your 7-inch vinyl, and you can also find it on BurgessMeredithBandcamp.com. That was such a smooth segue. I felt so pro, and I'm sorry I blew it by recognizing it. People can find you at BurgessMeredithMusic.com. You also have another album out called Banana Moon. Fantastic album as
Thank
well.
You. Thanks.
And are these on Cheers. Spotify? I didn't even look.
I think that Banana Moon is, I believe, I think that that's in all the appropriate spots, and we're working on getting this new one into all of the,
how do
the
people,
digital media space.
How do people, is there a vinyl for Banana Moon?
There's not. We need to press one.
You should.
Yeah, we should.
How long did it take? Was that the biggest holdup in making this two-song album? Was how like waiting 18 months to be, for that to be printed on a, or pressed onto a vinyl?
In all honesty, it took 15 months. To get the actual like quality copies that we have recently, we got
a batch. We got a
batch
that
was messed up, but that batch didn't even come in. And like we ordered them in September of 2014, and that the batch that was messed up came in like I think it was in the summer, and then it was screwed up, and so we had to send that back. And yeah, that was one of the major delays that we experienced. And then we also had some members changes and. You know, Kara moved on and started playing with Sweet Spirit, and then we had some.
You guys have done shows with them.
Yeah, we have.
Several,
and they
right?
they played. They just played our release with us.
Yeah,
and we're all. I mean, it was actually a blast, and we're all still. You know, it's still great to hang out, and I think that we may do something collaborative too. We kind of think of it as everyone who's come through. You know, I mean, there's been a ton of people who have come through our project.
That's true, man. Real like revolving
Mike,
door.
Mike and the Moon Pies. You know, they're Kyle and Mike. Who are doing great right now. I mean, yeah. The Rolling Stones calling their country album is listed in one of the top 50 albums of the year.
No shit?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing awesome. And it's, I mean, nobody deserves it more. Mike busts his ass on a regular basis.
I was once at a party with that guy, and it was a Halloween. Oh, I was really drunk. I made a girl cry. And then I insisted on, my friend has a Huey Lewis and the News cover band that was playing. And I just insisted on playing drums. Like, I kind of going up to the band, like, come on, motherfucker. Anyway, he was dressed as, had a great costume. He was riding a horse. And he was nice. The horse, but then he had these little legs that came off the side. He really put a lot of time into his costume.
That's
and we
awesome.
Ended up talking for a while.
That's
Sorry,
awesome.
Why am I saying that?
Yeah, they were playing with this for a while. And then
in the beginning,
Billy Potts and Danny Reich and... Blue and
Danny Bannon. Played Danny Rush.
Wow,
yeah, he was
love
he
was beginning as well. Yeah,
yeah,
he held down. Drums
He's a great
for
drummer.
Us.
Yeah, and he was the official drummer that kind of came out of Banana Moon, and we were going to play, but then things really picked up for him, and he started touring with Shearwater.
That's right.
So then we immediately had a filler after that, and then Keith came on board.
He's also has he been still producing a lot of bands?
I know his studio is one of the go-to studios in town, and I think he's playing with Other Lives.
I don't know them.
I
need to get in touch with them.
I toured with them once when I was filling in on keys for What Made Milwaukee Famous, and they played with us. I know Other Lives.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. I think they opened for Radiohead in Austin once, which is I know. I was like, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Just play with these guys in L.A. at this club, and now they're
Michael. Is Michael Kincaid? Still doing? What made Milwaukee?
I'm not sure what is the deal currently on Milwaukee. I know that he's still playing. He's got a project that does like, you know, it's like a party band basically.
Yeah, the Mutts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that they've got, and he's booking as well. He booked our Indian Roller gig. We're going to be playing there.
He's booking out there. That's Renee's place.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a really cool spot.
It is a cool spot, isn't it?
It's got two awesome patios, a nice bar, super cool
I need
cool
to go
staff.
Out there and support them because I love Michael and I love Renee.
Yeah,
I love them as people.
Yeah, that's really. And they
Straight
have a lot
people.
Of a lot of cool events out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Michael's a great person.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys are doing the Mohawk for Free Week. I don't know if this. Mm-hmm. I think this
when
is going to come
Aaron?
Out the Tuesday after it. Sorry,
Tuesday. No, that's fine. And then we're doing the next gigs after that are going to be
that's Indian Roller, right?
Yeah, it's going to be Indian Roller. And then after that, we're going to be at.
Do you know the date of Indian Roller?
I believe it's the 9th, Saturday the 9th
of February.
Of January.
Oh.
And then after Saturday.
Oh, I didn't mean next Tuesday. I meant the Tuesday after. Sorry.
Tuesday. Oh, I see. I see.
After the 9th.
Okay, so then the next gigs following this are going to be Cheer Up Charlie's on Saturday, which I believe is the 30th of January, or whatever the nearest Saturday is to that date.
Okay. Okay. You know who's going to be on that bill with you?
Daniel Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We recorded here.
Oh, awesome.
Love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. We've been corresponding. He's actually looking for one more band, I think, on the bill. But
Sorry. Hey, that guy's cool, man. If you see him at like Walgreens, super cool. You nice. Can't miss him.
I'll keep an eye out for him at Walgreens.
I love Daniel.
Are y'all neighbors? Are y'all in the same area over here?
Yeah, I think he lives up the street.
This is my Walgreens too, man.
That's your Walgreens too.
I was just over there printing some photos.
Shit, man! I'm gonna have to start dressing better when I go there because party at the Walgreens. Like, loved out, yeah.
We're going to get paid for talking about Walgreens, right?
This show is actually sponsored by Walgreens.
I had a feeling.
So thank you for being on the show.
Cool. Well, Walgreens, I know that if you get 100 photos printed there, they drop down to like 12 cents a pop or something.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good. Printing photos at
Walgreens. Do people
Walgreens.
Still do that?
Yeah. I can drop off my disposable camera there.
I put together a photo album for my GMAW for the Xmas. So.
Nice.
Do you guys have good Christmases? G-Maw. You did. You went to Dallas. Everyone's good. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was chaotic for me, but that's just my family. We're crazy. So.
Yeah, I had one of those too. I had one of those like, okay, you guys are lucky you're my family. And I will come back next year. But I may not stay all 6 days.
But I'm
going to
leave
days.
Before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, oftentimes.
And it's not a bad family thing, just families. It's a group of people. Mm-hmm. With emotions and holes.
And really kind of random
baggage.
People, if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's always the outsiders that are doing the weird shit. You know what I mean? The guys that... Not blood.
The in-laws.
The non-bloods.
Mm-hmm. The mud-bloods.
I'm going to get in trouble for this podcast. So so your next album, you're in the process of working out... Getting the recording.
Yeah, we're fully demoed on it, and the parts are written. And then I've got a feeling, like, in terms of the actual songs, like, there's a couple brand new things that are in the works that... And it could just be that I always get excited about new ideas, but I've got a feeling, like, some of the track listing is going to change. And as we get further in, we're going to bring in some of these brand new
stuff. Maybe pull one or two and replace them.
But we're gonna schedule drums soon. We've been researching our drum method. We're actually going to try to do a minimal mic setup for drums. We're going to try to. I've been looking through that that encyclopedia of the EMI tracking the sessions of how
the
they
Beatles.
Did yeah minimal yeah. mics and so
yeah one like one in the air one
we're
the
yeah we're gonna something. We're gonna noodle with some things. And
have you guys ever met Lars Göransson?
No,
producer guy here in town, Swedish guy.
He's a good
resource for that.
Shouldn't all right
yeah
cool
all right yeah yeah, yeah there's a lot of places that have kind of reach out and we're interested. Like I know Josh Ball at the Ball Ranch was talking to us about some time, and the Arlen Studio guys. We've chatted with them.
Oh,
a little
that's
bit.
Great, man.
I'm kind of just curious about which we're not really sure yet. I kind of want to see the things and then kind of map out a plan.
Well, how much tracking are you wanting to do at a studio like that? Just drums or
definitely gonna get drums. We'll probably do drums and then depending on piano. I've got this upright at the place. It's like kind of perfectly out of tune at the moment.
Man, you're. Right where it's...
I know exactly what you mean. Like, if it goes just 2 weeks, we're going to be fucked.
Yeah.
And if we get it tuned, it's not going to be anywhere near this cool.
The same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah it's been really cool recording it. Like, it's on the existing recordings that we have, and it's...
It sounds awesome like it is, man. That's the tone on that thing is fantastic.
But yeah, I'm definitely excited to... And plus, we need to just get an LP. I want to have a full-length...
Yeah.
Album and then as soon as that's done, start doing more. It seems like material is the sort of badge of honor of kind of establishing yourself as something,
Yes.
Like a real, because we've gone through members and various transitions, and so it's been hard to get in and document all the work that we put together,
and keep it put together.
Yeah, and then now I'm going to try to ride this, our instrumentation as we have it now and get as much down as we can.
And I think once we get the LP done and released, that'll be a new door for us to really kind of snowball and
maintain
Absolutely. Consistency.
People always seem to be pretty receptive and complimentary of the material that we do get down. I just think we need to get more of it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But our process slows us down because we're often, you know, we rewrite things and refix things and re-record them. And
There's a lot of you. I know it's hard to get people together and people work. It's not like...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, ideally, him and I can get a lot of the kind of more headache type stuff out of the way before we bring it to the band and fill the rest of the song out. I know there have been several songs where we just did our homework and then
made it easier on them.
Well, yeah, and sometimes we'll even write we'll go to the bass, whoever's playing bass, and the part's already written, and we'll just go, here it is. You know?
Yeah.
And in a way, that's kind of nice.
But recently, we've had, you know, I think our biggest, like, guitar collaborations are on Sydney Savant, the one that's on this, the 7-inch.
Yeah, probably so.
And so, for me, I'm excited just to get, like, a really solid collaboration of all the guitar part writing. Because I want there to be, you know, some harmony. I want there to be edge to it. But I don't want it to be predictable or just noodling, you know. But I like that. It's good that we have the different heads that we can bounce it off.
You don't want any, like, journey dual guitar harmonies and stuff like that? Maybe. A little whammy bar action?
Yep.
I'll do some wham.
Yeah? It's all about placement.
Maybe it's the wham guitars that you're talking about.
That's right. Maybe it's the wham.
Nice. It's been nice talking to you guys. Am I missing anything? Tell the other guys I said hi, and please tell your drummer I didn't mean all that stuff about him. I just meant drummers in general, and I'm also not a person who's racist or bigoted towards drummers.
Yeah.
A bigot,
Hi, babe.
Musical classist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, musical classist. That's exactly right, man. I knew a guy that was in a band that had, like, groupies and stuff, and he was like, from the Motley Crue school, like, the mindset of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I said some girl was cute. What happened to her? He was like, oh, their roadie had sex with her. And I was like, and? And he goes, fucking when a roadie fucks. That's what he said to me.
Wow.
And I was like, where do you live? Like, what kind of...
Like, where do you live?
What world do you exist in?
He exists in a weird world. All right, thank you guys for coming. Burgess Meredith, double A-side, 7-inch vinyl, available at record stores here in Austin, at the Waterloo.
End of an ear.
Mm-hmm. Probably at your shows.
Yes,
keep an eye out. BurgessMeredithMusic.com, BurgessMeredith.bandcamp. Pick up the music. Thank you, guys.
Josh. Thank you.
Josh and Jesse from Burgess Meredith, their new double A-side is out. 7-inch single. You can pick it up on vinyl at the record stores, but also you can pick it up at Bandcamp, burgessmeredith.bandcamp.com, and you can find them at Burgess Meredith Music. Get out there and see them on Saturday, January 30th at Cheer Up Charlie's. Burgess Meredith getting it on out there. Love those guys, man. I love their music. I'm a huge fan of music like that. You give me some pop music with some harmonies and some greatness, I am hook, line, and sinker. Love Burgess Meredith. They gave me a 7-inch, and I'm jamming it. I jammed it today for my friend Nathan. And people are loving it everywhere. Don't forget to like their Facebook page. And while you're out there, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Get photos, see a picture of me with Josh and Jesse, and get updates from the show, find out what's going on, get pictures with me with guests, whatever you want, okay? Get involved, and you can share the podcast. Don't forget, if you like these shows, share them on your Twitter, on your Facebook. Share the link. Say, hey, I like this show. This was a good show. Helps us. Helps us spread the word, all right? And spread the word about Burgess Meredith. Great band, double A-side, 7-inch vinyl, out now. Pick it up. Let's hear FM 544 from that, all right? Everyone have a great day. Thank you for listening. Let's get down.
The farm to market road, 544. Supposed to say, though, it's so.
melt your fur.